We welcome you in to the Friday tradition of the Gardener's Corner program here on WKRX and WRXO. Rob Hall here with you. Brought to you by my fine supporting sponsors. We do appreciate their support. And if you should ever have the opportunity to convey a word of thank you to our sponsors for making the Gardener's Corner program possible, we would appreciate that. Thanks goes out to T.G. Brooks Company, Sandlin Golf Cars and Trailers, E.B. Harris Auctioneering. E.B. is having a cattle auction tomorrow in Oxford there at the Granville County Livestock Arena, 4200 Kennedy Mill Road. Log on to ebharris.com for more information. Also, we'll share some information with you from Owl Pride Foods, makers of Owl Pride Premium Pimento Cheese Spread and Dip, and the Lord Granville Agricultural Heritage Association. Their annual harvest show will be next Friday, October 1st, and Saturday the 2nd. It will be the 15th annual Lord Granville Agricultural Heritage Association's harvest show in Butner. We'll keep you reminded about that up until the event. I'd like to make welcome right now by way of telephone, all the way from the North Carolina Cooperative Extension Service, Mr. Gary Cross, who is the crops agent for the North Carolina Cooperative Extension Service offices of Person and Granville counties. Good morning, Gary. How you doing?
I'm doing well, Rob. How are you doing today?
Just enjoying the nice, cool weather. We got some rain, you know, a few days ago, much needed rain in this area, and it cooled things off a little bit, and things are supposed to be not out of the 70s until Monday, but hey, it's fall time of the year. Fall made its presence known the last day or two with the nicer weather. And anyway, you know, Gary, it's just wonderful weather. And so I'm glad we got some rain. And I know a lot of the tobacco growers are working hard as they can to get the crop harvested. And we were down to 43 degrees this morning at Raleigh Regional Airport at Person County. And typically in this area of the Piedmont, we're typically frost-free until about October 15th or so, but that's not guaranteed. So we'll just have to kind of see how things go and hope that, you know, everybody can get everything harvested before, you know, the frost sets in. But one thing would be a good idea for those folks that have, you know, flowers and plants that you want to enjoy the beauty of them as long as you can. It may be a good idea for you to start thinking about how you can, you know, more or less keep them from being cold hurt. And you may have some of your outside plants that you can set inside of a building for those that are planted out and you can't move them. It's other little ways that you can, you know, help protect them. And we'll talk about that coming up on a program in the very near future. But right now we're going to spend a little bit of time with Mr. Gary Cross. Gary, now I saw something come across the wire a few weeks ago, and it kind of confused me a little bit, which I'm easily confused sometimes. I know that you have done a lot of extensive work on popcorn, you know, varieties, you know, here in, you know, this area of Person in Granville counties. And I know you've got a lot of different varieties of the popcorn planted. But when I found out some information about the Native Tribes Corn Plot Tour, that was something that I was unaware of. And that's going to be coming up on Wednesday, the 29th, here in Roxborough. Tell us more about that.
Well, it's over 200 varieties of native tribes in North America, in the United States. It's one of the very few plots of its kind in the world, in the United States. It's kind of a look at what can grow relatively well here in North Carolina. And majority of them do. Some of them are extremely early maturing, you know, like 60, 80 day. Then you got longer maturing that are 120, maybe 125 day, which is very long. So we've got them from the Hopi Indians in the southwest to the Cherokee to the Six Nations of the Ontario, to the Arapaho, to the Mandans, to the Comanche. So basically, it's a look at history of Native American tribes in North America. And we're going to have a speaker, Dr. Jane Halliday out of UNC Pembroke, is going to come up and talk a little bit about Native cultures and corn related to those native cultures. I'm going to talk a little bit about some of the diseases and issues that's in on it. So it'll be a good program, and you can still sign up on our website. Go to the Native Corn issue, and you can sign right up on it. So look forward to having people in here. I think we've got between 30 and 40 signed up, so we're looking pretty good. And if you want to come out, take 2 hours. It'll be from 10 to 12 on Wednesday the 29th. Come on by, and we'll be glad to have you.
And that's going to be taking place at Brooks Farm, right out here on Old Durham Road, 619 Old Durham Road, right there across from the Dollar General, right there at the intersection of Old Durham Road and Weeks Drive. So just keep that in mind for this upcoming Wednesday, the 29th. But again, you do need to call 336-599-1195 or 919-603-1350 to register, unless you want to go and register online. Now, Gary, what is all of the native tribes of corn? What is it, just varieties of corn?
It's different that, types of corn, and they're all different colors, all different of this rainbow, a spectrum of the rainbow. You can see the differences in them. Some of them are similar looking. You know, if a tribe was, you know, there's tribes and there's subsets of tribes, like churches, you know, there's subsets of churches. There is a lot of different tribes. I'll flag some of them. Person come out here, come and look, pull back the ear and look at it and see what people in Native America 100 years ago were growing or 200 years ago. And you can go on through and look. I'll have some of them flagged off. I won't flag off all of them. And you can come in and look, and it'll be something that you've never seen before, and it's something new to experience, and it's also something that is creative in our culture and diversity, and it's something that you don't get to see very often, kind of like an eclipse. So come on by, and you're welcome. Sign up online, call the local number, and we'll see you there Wednesday at 10 o'clock.
Well, now, Gary, I've heard people speak of, you know, Indian corn and things like that, but now, is this corn originally planted
for food stock?
For food stock, whether it's for the...
They made everything out of corn. They made everything from... Of course, they would they make everything out of it, from bedding to dolls to baskets to use the cobs as fire and use them as to make things with. They were extremely efficient. And what a lot of people don't understand is that the corn hybrids you see out in the fields today came from Native Americans. It didn't come from USDA. It didn't come from the big seed companies. It came from Native Americans selecting corn ears over the last 2,000 or 3,000 years to be able to get us up to the point to where we're at today. And the majority of that sorting was done by women. And so we owe the Native American women and the Native American tribes a lot, because they've created the foodstuff. You know, when the pilgrims and people came into the North American continent, the Native Americans out of Massachusetts showed them how to grow corn, helped them supplement their diet so they wouldn't starve to death. So, you know, since the settlers arrived in North America, the Native Americans have been showing them how to do corn. And basically, corn, all of it came out of Central America, from square one, whether it's popcorn or regular corn. It all spread from there to South America and into North America. And, you know, most of it probably here came through trade and through selections that have been done maybe 100 or 1,000 years before white settlers were there. So, you know, this corn is like wheat. Of course, wheat's been grown for many, many thousands of years all over the world. Corn was indigenous to the Central, North, and South American continents for many thousand years until the Europeans started exporting, the Spanish and the Portuguese and the English and the French. So, you know, we've got a lot of thanks to be given to Native Americans for being able to provide this product to us.
Well, ma'am, a few questions come to mind. So the corn was more used for many different reasons other than just, you know, being a meal or feed for livestock. But now, why would someone want to plant native varieties of corn now? Would it be for marketing purposes?
You can market it. Of course it is. It has a different coloration. It's not yellow. Maybe a few of them are. But they're multicolored. They're every color in the rainbow and then some. And, you know, it's part of being history. And a lot of people use it for decorative. You can market it. Believe it or not, there's recipes to eat it. So there's all different types of things you can do with it. And, you know, a lot of the Native Americans use them as headdress, as jewelry, as all different types of issues. Corn was a big, big part of their culture, a big part of their diet, and a big part of their overall existence in North, Central, and South America.
Well, that is interesting. And again, how many varieties is in this plot?
200.
200. Wow. Now, when you break it down to the more or less acreage or anything like that of these 200 varieties, what kind of field size does this constitute?
I have to have maybe an acre to plant all of them. I only put them on 20-foot rows.
Right.
So, and I did, I think, 12 to 15 wide rows all the way up. So it's a long plot, but it's not very wide.
Yeah. Well, now, from your studies and observations, has it been a pretty good growing year for the, you know, native type of corn?
Not been bad. They've done pretty good. Of course, they don't have resistance to disease, so there's disease out there, and there's different types of, you know, it's not bug-resistant corn, earworm-resistant, so it'll have a little damage from earworm. So, you know, you just, these are types of things. You know, it's, I don't want to say it was grown organically. It wasn't, because I did have to use control on grass and broadleaves, but beyond that, and fertilized it with conventional fertilizer. But beyond that, it looks pretty good overall, and I think folks will be, not to say there may not be a little grass out in the plot, but they'll be overall impressed with the number of varieties and the differences in tribes. Now, some tribes aren't as different. If they were close neighbors, you may look at it and see, yeah, that kind of looks the same. Well, then maybe they were using the same type. Those, you know, maybe the Arapaho and the Lakota, which were close, maybe were using some of the same types. But it's interesting. To me, the number one corn people, without a doubt, were the Hopi tribe. And they were basically farmers, not to say they weren't hunters and gatherers, but they weren't like the Lakota, the Sioux, who were hunters and gatherers, but they were mainly hunters. And, of course, they farmed a little bit, too. They grew corn also. But mainly they were hunters and warriors. Hopis were farmers. And they hunted, I'm sure, but their main objective was farming. So, and they've done a... If you go through that plot, you'll see how many of them are of the Hopi tradition and the Hopi tribe and their concentration on that. So... it's really interesting. It's been very interesting to me. I took a lot of notes on them. And, you know, the USDA is the group that furnished the seed because the tribes donated the corn to the USDA to go out for educational purposes and whatever else you want to look at, so research purposes. And it's been... hard work, but it's come to fruition, and we'll be able to look it over really well on the 29th.
336-599-1195, or you can call the Granville County office, 919-603-1350. And if you are, you know, on the internet, you can go to the Facebook page for the North Carolina Cooperative Extension Service, and it's a link there to where you can click to get registered. And again, that is this upcoming Wednesday. That will be the 29th. Again, it's going to be at Brooks Farm, 619 Old Durham Road, right there near the intersection of Old Durham Road and Weeks Drive, right across from Dollar General. And it will be from 10 a.m. to 12 noon, and it's no charge. But it's a good idea for people to wear comfortable shoes, because there will be some walking involved, and dress appropriately for the weather, because everything will be outside. Correct, Gary?
That is correct, and we'll have masks and hand sanitizer for people who need it, and... maybe a little bottled water if you need it, and we'll look at what's going on, and I think they'll enjoy it.
Sounds like a lot of information that will be shared that day. We need to get away. And I remember when you started with the Extension Service, and Carl brought you out to the station one time, and you made your debut on the Gardener's Corner program. Now, how many years ago was that?
Oh, we're looking at between 6 and 7 years ago, and Carl was a good mentor coming into this program. Him and I had both had worked in different extension services. We had a lot in common in relation to understanding extension through research and demonstrations, and I always kidded him a lot about getting to eat well all the time, which he did. And believe it or not, him and Ruth would always bring me a little something on food, and that always made my day. And he was one of the, you know, I've worked all over the United States in agriculture and worked with a lot of different horticulture people, and he's, if not the best I was ever around, as far as knowledge and as far as understanding wide ranges of horticultural issues and horticultural facts, horticultural, you know, vegetable gardening, everything from shrubs to vegetable gardening to lawns to whether it's large scale or small scale, he had done something. Of course, he was the leading authority, I'm assuming, in the United States and maybe even the world on asparagus. I don't know if there's anybody more knowledgeable about asparagus in the United States than Carl Cantalupi. He wrote, you know, fact sheets on it. He wrote a manual on it, a book on it. He was on a program which I would encourage anybody to go on. You can go on YouTube and type in Asparagus Man and PBS, and it'll come up the local program they did on him. It's a very fine program that the local PBS station out of Durham or Raleigh did, Public Broadcasting Service, and he talks about asparagus and working with it. He is one of the very few extension people I ever knew in history that won the highest award from USDA, from the USDA Secretary of Ag, I think it was back in the 80s, for his work on asparagus in Illinois. So a lot of people don't know that that award's not giving out to everybody. That's and very rarely is it given out. And he was one of the very few that ever received that award in the United States in history. So he accomplished quite a bit, and him and his wife, Ruth, moved back to Pennsylvania when he retired from here. And Rob, I know you and him were very good friends. You and him did a lot of good programs and put out a lot of good information on horticultural issues. Even when he left, he did a few call-ins with us, and we always enjoyed that. And, I think the extension world and the horticultural world and the world at large lost a very, very good person, a very good horticulturalist who had a huge understanding of what horticulture does and what it means, and was very, very good at what he did and very professional at what he did.
I agree with you there. I sure do. And, Carl, other than, horticultural things, he really had a big passion for a wide gamut of it, along with asparagus. He was kind of nicknamed the Johnny Appleseed of asparagus. And after he retired, he would do presentations from time to time on asparagus. And I guess the most recent one was the one that he done with Penn State. And that's been within the last year, I think, wasn't it, Gary?
I think it was within the last year. He was a big Three Stooges fan.
Oh, yeah.
He was a very good clarinetist. A lot of people didn't know he could play clarinet in all different areas, and he had an extremely large collection of band music. And I'm talking about marching band type music. He may have had one of the biggest collections of anybody of sheet music of anybody in the United States on like John Philip Sousa type music, the stuff that you hear in marches and things of that sort. He played in a lot of local community bands. I think he played in one up there, and he's played with several down here, and he's played in quartets, and he could play jazz. He could do all different types.
Well, again, we just wanted to remember a good friend, Mr. Carl Cantalupi. And anyway, we certainly got a lot of knowledge from Carl and how he was able to remember everything that he did. I hadn't figured it out yet, but, all of the agents, they thrive at what they do, and we do appreciate all of our extension agents. Coming up next Friday, October 1st, and Saturday the 2nd, it's going to be the 15th Harvest Show, sponsored by the Lloyd Granville Agricultural Heritage Association. The Harvest Show will take place in Butner, right there close by John Umstead Hospital. And if you enjoy antique tractors, engines, and you need to come on down to the show. They'll have some vintage tools, old-time country cooking, just a lot of different things. A nice, leisurely day on Friday and Saturday to where you can just get out and enjoy. They'll have some music, nothing too fast-paced, just some enjoyable things taking place there in Butner next Friday and Saturday, the 1st and 2nd. We'll be back with more with Gary Cross after this message. The 15th Annual Harvest Show, sponsored by the Lloyd Granville Agricultural Heritage Association, will be Friday and Saturday, October 1st and 2nd, the corner of 12th and G Streets in Butner. Proceeds to benefit the scholarship program. This year they will be featuring Ford and Ferguson tractors at the 15th Annual Harvest Show. Come on out and enjoy tractor games, antique tractors, and equipment on display. Be sure to visit Mama's Kitchen and Old Time Cooking. They'll have vendors and food available. See the blacksmith at work. Visit the farm shop, the Parade of Power, games and rides for the children. Daily admission, $5. For more information, call 919-528-1652. That's Friday and Saturday, October 1st and 2nd, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. 919-528-1652. For more information on the Lloyd Granville Agricultural Heritage Association 15th Annual Harvest Show in Butner.
It'll be a good time. Come on and enjoy if you are able. Gary Cross is our guest today. Gary, if you don't mind, I want to make mention Mr. Johnny Coley, the horticultural agent who was hired after Mr. Carl Cantalupi announced his retirement. But coming up, it's going to be a natural resource series, Getting to Know Your Land. More or less webinars will be taking place on Fridays, starting Friday, October 1st. Then they'll have a class on the 15th, 29th, November 19th, December 3rd, and 17th. And again, all of these dates are Fridays, and it will be from 2 to 4 p.m. Anyway, topics covered will include plant identification, pond, pasture, and woodlot management, practices to help landowners benefit from their natural resources. You can call a couple of numbers to get signed up, or you can log on to the website. But the numbers to call, 919-603-1350 or 336-599-1195. And for our folks in the Vance County area, 252-438-8188 is that number. A lot of folks may have some more or less unknown treasures on their own property. So this would be a good idea for people to sign up and take part in. Wouldn't you agree, Gary?
I would very much agree, and that'll be, you know, if you're a person who owns a few acres and or if you own a lot of acres and you want to look at what you have and what's available in your inventory and your natural resources, you're going to have some good programs. You have foresters, extension agents, people working in natural resources, I'm assuming probably wildlife, many different types of subject areas to be able to look at it. Pond management. Pond management's a big issue with a lot of people. You know, being able to understand what you got out there in woods, is it worth, what's it worth? Do I need to get out there and do anything with it? Do I need that, you know, if I want to plant some woods, pines or whatever, you know, you'll be able to find out that from that programming issue. And it'll be good for an understanding, especially if you've not lived in a rural area and need a little information on what you have there, or if you've been living in a rural area for a long time and really haven't given a lot of thought to what's out there on the farm or out there in your backyard or woods or 5 or 10 acres, be a good program for you.
Again, go ahead and call, because this starts next Friday. And I don't think you necessarily have to make a commitment to be available for every Friday, but it would be very beneficial to you if you at all possibly could fit that in your schedule. But if you could only, you know, check out a few of the programs and shows, it would be really worth your time.
Slowly but surely, fall is starting to creep in, and it's time now to get mums and pansies. Also time for collards, cauliflower, cabbage, broccoli, and other fall vegetables. T.G. Brooks Company has them. This is the best time of the year right now to get your yard off to the best start. Remember, you can kill those weeds in the lawn and get ready for fall seeding. T.G. Brooks Company has the lawn chemicals to do the job. This is the best time of the year of all to enrich and repair the lawn. T.G. Brooks Company has the new Top Choice Turf grass seed for greener and plusher lawns. Also available are rental lawn aerators and pull and walk behind pluggers and spreaders. Bag in bulk mulches and bulk planting soil. If you have your fertilizer needs, they've got those in lime. They still have plenty of lawn sprinklers and water hose fittings if you need those. If you need yard tools, they're in abundance, plus wheelbarrows. Pick up a couple of nice rakes while you're there. Get you some fresh pine needles, and if you are the homeowner or you are the professional landscaper, everybody gets the same kind service, and they are set up to handle commercial accounts. Taylor wood stove parts are available, so get your wood stove serviced up for cold weather. Remember, they have dog kennels, shavings, and, of course, Bartlett animal feeds and Pride dog food. They have storage buildings, new ones for rent. They invite you to come tour today, see the new buildings. T.G. Brooks Company, a legend since 1936, and people have trusted T.G. Brooks Company for sound advice when it comes to lawn, garden, and home. They take pride in servicing the homeowner, farmer, and those in construction. They're at 411 Helena Mariah Road next to Community Pharmacy in Timberlake.
We do appreciate the support of T.G. Brooks Company. Our guest today on the program is Mr. Gary Cross. He's the crops agent for Person in Granville Counties of the North Carolina Cooperative Extension Service. Next week, Ms. Michelle Van Ness, who is the 4-H agent for Person County, she will be on the program. And a couple of things I want to make mention of. Galactic Quest for 2021 National STEM Challenge is going to be on October the 18th, 9 a.m. to 12 noon at the Person County Office Building, 304 South Morgan Street. It's going to be open for ages 8 to 14, and they ask that you register by October 13th. 336-599-1195. And you can speak with Miss Michelle Van Ness about that. And also, Michelle is already working on 2022 4-H camp. And if you're interested in sending your child to Millstone 4-H camp in the center of in the summer of 2022, they are asking for you to fill out a survey. And if you go to the Person County 4-H Facebook page, you can click on a link to where you can fill out that survey. But if you're someone that's not on Facebook or the internet, just call Miss Michelle Van Ness, 336
599-1195, and she can get you more information. Gary, I may mention, you know, that a lot of the tobacco growers are, you know, trying to get all of the crops harvested before frost sets in. And I noticed that a lot of, you know, growers have, you know, harvested a lot of their tobacco and cut the stubbles. Is it time to start planting wheat?
Well, no, we probably need to wait a little bit. There may be some that are going ahead and planting it, but you have to have, you know, a fly-free date, which is, you don't want Hessian fly in your wheat because it's a bad deal on wheat that's coming up. So you have fly-free dates, and ours is in October. So, you know, starting in October, you're probably in pretty good shape. And, you know, make sure you had your soil tested. Wheat's been a good price for over a year. I don't know why every acre of available ground after it's harvested isn't in wheat. You know, we've had some struggles in the past getting wheat in because we were late because it was a wet fall. We've had a couple of those wet falls. And we just need to get the crop off and get the wheat planted and have some for next spring, summer, midsummer, and it's extra money in your pocket. You know, at $5 to $6 a bushel, that's some of the best prices we've ever had, especially six plus, some of the best prices we've had on wheat in a long time. So, you know, if they get an opportunity, they need to do that. They need to go and check their drill, make sure everything is working okay, and adjust it to what seed size is. If it's larger seed, you don't plant as much. If it's smaller seed, you know, you will. So make sure you don't overplant, overcrowd. And, you know, a lot of people plant wheat not just for grain, but for hay. And so, you know, it may not be as big a deal, but you want a nice, thick emergence and want that emergence to look even across the board. And, you know, you need to look at your fertilizer rate, especially if you're going grain on it, and make sure that you have enough population out there. That's a lot of the problem in wheat, is not getting enough seed on. So make sure you look at your wheat drill guide and make sure you look at what the seed count is on the wheat, and make sure they match up to where, you know, you may need a bag and a half, or you may need two bags or whatever. And you also check the germination out, because if you have a very low germination, or if you use whatever you have out of the bin and you haven't had it seed tested, you may have some problems on emergence, and basically you'll waste your money. So I encourage you to buy good certified seed, high quality seed, because in the long term, it's a lot better for your overall emergence and your overall plant health.
Now, if you would repeat that again, if the wheat seed is large, you don't plant as many seed per acre than if the seed is small, you plant more seed per acre?
Basically what it is, you have to look at your drill guide, and if the seed is a little, some wheat seed can be smaller or larger, and it's the same thing with soybeans. Usually wheat is not as bad in that capacity. Soybeans have a tendency to be smaller or larger according to what the variety is and maturity many times. So you want to make sure you match it up and you're putting on the right amount of seed. So I probably misspoke on that end of it, but basically, make sure that you're putting on enough seed and you're not overseeding and spending too much money that you don't need to spend, or underseeding and not put enough on, which will cost you in yield in the long term. So basically, that's what I'm saying.
All right, some good information. If you have any questions for Gary, he's very approachable. You can call him, 336-599-1195. Whether he's in the Person or Granville County office, they'll get a message to him, and he will return your call, and he has a lot of information. But again, remember, next Wednesday, the 29th, it is the Native Tribes Corn Plot Tour. It's going to be right here in Roxboro at 619 Old Durham Road at Brooks Farm. That's right there at the intersection of Weeks Drive and Old Durham Road, right there close by the Dollar General store. Brooks Farm is just right across the road there. And over 200 varieties of Native Tribes corn. And 10 a.m. to 12 noon. And Gary, you're going to be giving out some good information. And you have a speaker that is going to be there sharing some information. And, you know, thinking about this, Gary, the amount of different types of native corn that you've got planted. And then when you factor in the more or less a popcorn plot that you have done, you've spent a lot of time in corn, hadn't you?
I've spent a lot of time in the fields this year, you bet, and tried to keep basically doing more than anything is weed control, but a lot of times we didn't do as good as what we thought, so but we spent a lot of time planting and evaluating the products, and then you put on tours and education programs, and it seems to be never-ending. But
always something to do.
And I look forward to having people out there to the plot tour, and I think they will enjoy it. And it's something they have never been able to see, and it's very educational, and it, you know, it shows a different aspect of our diversity and culture in the United States. So sign up, go to our website, Granville County Extension or Person County Extension. It's on both websites. You can click on the Native Tribe Corn Plot Tour and register there.
We're going to take a break to pay a couple of bills. We'll be back with more Gardener's Corner after these messages. Sandlin Golf Cars and Trailers is located 613 Lewis Street in Oxford. Open for business weekdays 8 to 5, Saturdays 9 till 1. Call 1-800-221-9267 or 919-693-4626. Al, Hillary, and Will, there to serve you with all of your golf car needs. They have club car, easy go, and Yamaha units. If you're wanting a gasoline or an electric golf car, they have them at Sandlin Golf Cars and Trailers. Trojan batteries, parts, and repair service. Thinking about a new grill? Check out the Wilmington Grills at Sandlin Golf Cars and Trailers. Speaking of trailers, they have utility, dump, enclosed, stock, and equipment trailers. That's Sandlin Golf Cars and Trailers in Oxford, 919-693-4626, toll free, 1-800-221-9267. Sandlin Golf Cars and Trailers.
WRXO AM 1430 and WKRX FM 96.7, Roxboro, North Carolina.
E.B. Harris Auctioneering, NCAL 1468, announces a cattle auction of 170 head to be held at the Granville County Livestock Arena, 4200 Kennedy Mill Road in Oxford, on Saturday, September 25th at 10 a.m. For terms, more information, and to view pictures of cattle up for auction, log on to ebharris.com. You can also call 252-257-2140. Are you looking to increase your beef cattle herd? Well, here's your opportunity with bred cows, cow-calf pairs, bred heifers, and open heifers. It's Saturday, September 25th, 10 a.m. at the Granville County Livestock Arena, 4200 Kennedy Mill Road in Oxford. Log on to ebharris.com, the complete auction service, or call 252-257-2140. Yeah, be sure to check out that auction tomorrow with Mr. E.B. Harris at the Granville County
Livestock Center, and that is located 4200 Kennedy Mill Road. Also, you can log on to the website late this afternoon, ebharris.com, and they will be posting this sale order, or you can pick up one there at the auction tomorrow. Gary Cross is our guest. Gary, we only have about maybe not even 2 minutes left. A lot of good information you've passed along to the listeners this morning. Any parting remarks before we wrap it up for today?
No, other than I appreciate everything that you've done, Rob, and your team, and appreciate all the work that you put in to having the Gardener's Corner and getting sponsors and letting us get our information out and being able to move forward in research and education, and you've always been a valuable resource to Extension, and I want to let you know I really appreciate that.
Well, I appreciate, you know, you, Gary, and all the other agents. You know, you folks have, you know, went to school and got your degree, and you freely share your information, and, you know, a lot of people, if they have information, they like to keep it to themselves, but the Extension Service is a wonderful deal, and we're just very appreciative of all of the folks that make it possible. And it's not just one person. It takes a team, to say the very least. Well, Gary, get out and enjoy a beautiful Friday afternoon. I think I may end up, Bob, have an appointment with the lawnmower.
Oh, I have fun.
Absolutely, 100%. Thanks to all of our fine supporting sponsors, Owl Pride Foods, makers of Owl Pride Premium Pimento Cheese Spread and Dip, E.B. Harris Auctioneering, Sandling Golf Cars and Trailers, the Lloyd Granville Agricultural Heritage Association. Their 15th annual harvest show is next Friday and Saturday, October 1st and 2nd in Butner, and a big thanks to T.G. Brooks Company. God bless, folks. Have a wonderful and safe week, and thanks for tuning in.
96.7 WKRX.